Breaking news tonight. They won't vote. Senate Republicans retreat on a plan to push through an Obamacare repeal this week. Losing support, all GOP senators summoned to the White House. Heavy price. The Trump administration threatens military action, warning Assad may be preparing for another chemical attack on the Syrian people. Held for ransom, a massive cyber attack hitting airlines, banks, and utilities around the world, even an American pharmaceutical giant. Hackers demanding money, holding computer systems hostage. Chaos underground, dozens injured after a subway derails in New York City. Passengers evacuated through smoke and darkness. And battle of the sexes. Serena Williams fires back as John McEnroe courts controversy. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday night. It is deja vu for President Trump and congressional Republicans tonight. This time, Senate leaders have blinked, delaying this week's planned vote on health care in the face of mounting internal resistance and a sobering official estimate of how many Americans could lose coverage under their plan. Late today, President Trump, who made repealing and replacing Obamacare a signature campaign promise, met with Republican senators to discuss the way forward. Our Casey Hunt has late details.
After 7 years of promising to repeal and replace Obamacare, a stunning delay and a major blow to President Trump and his Republican Party. They don't have the votes in the Senate.
We will not be on the bill this week, but we're still working toward getting at least 50 people in a comfortable place.
Republican leader Mitch McConnell retreating today after he had promised over and over again he'd hold a vote before July 4th.
Mr. Leader, is your effort to repeal Obamacare dead?
No. We're continuing to talk about it. It's a very complicated subject.
A complicated bill written in secret, released to the public just 5 days ago to immediate outcry. First from conservatives who said it didn't go far enough.
I just didn't run on Obamacare light.
And then moderate Republicans worried about deep Medicaid cuts.
Not the answer. It's simply not the answer.
Yesterday, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimated 22 million more people would lose health coverage under the bill. Still, even this morning, the number two Senate Republican insisting.
Yes, we will vote this week.
But it all fell apart by lunchtime when McConnell announced he was putting the whole thing off. Vice President Mike Pence was in the room.
We're going to keep working it.
And you think the delay is going to really
get it done?
Leaving the Capitol, a busload of Republican senators following him down Pennsylvania Avenue, summoned to the White House.
If we get it done, and if we don't get it done, it's just going to be something that we're not going to like, and that's okay, and I understand that very well.
After the meeting,
I think everybody around the table is interested in getting to yes.
Some worried Republicans are urging their leaders to work with Democrats to find a real fix.
So when did we get to the point where we said, no, we're not going to talk to Democrats about a fix? We should be working with our colleagues on the other side of the aisle.
Healthcare is a right! Fight, fight, fight!
But outside the Capitol and across the country, Democrats have helped organize the opposition.
This is exactly what Senator McConnell did not want. He did not want to have a recess where opposition would have time to build and spend money on ads and bring people out to events. And that's exactly what the opponents of this bill are planning for the next 10 days.
Republicans will face intense pressure back home next week. But remember, Republicans in the House tried and failed on their first attempt to repeal Obamacare before they succeeded on their second try. And that could happen here, too. Also, the president tweeting tonight that it's Democrats who are refusing to work with Republicans. He says the GOP is trying really hard to get this done. Lester.
Let's explore that. Casey Hunt, thanks. Here to talk about the future of health care and the overhaul is Chuck Todd, our political director and moderator of Meet the Press. Chuck, how are Republicans going to get this done? Do you see them sitting down with Democrats?
No, I don't see them sitting down with Democrats now. All right. That is for the trilogy of this health care movie. That is part three of the movie. But we're a long way from there. We're still in the sequel here to Obamacare, which is the Republican version of this. Look, if this passes, it's because Mitch McConnell and President Trump make a political argument for passage. They basically said, you've made this promise for 7 years. Failure to do something is going to be a political problem for you in the long run. It may cost you your job. You're better off passing something that's unpopular than not passing anything at all. But let's be realistic here, Lester. The fact of the matter is, doing it on a partisan basis is a recipe for long-term failure of a bill. The Democrats have learned that the hard way. Republicans realize it, too. The question is, when are they finally going to have a ceasefire in the health care wars and finally sit down together? I think it's going to take yet another election cycle.
All right, Chuck Todd, thank you. Now to that late-night statement from the White House, the Trump administration publicly threatening military action against Syria, warning Assad may be preparing for another chemical attack on civilians. It's a move that caught some top U.S. officials off guard. NBC News White House correspondent Kristen Welker has details.
A nighttime warning shot at Syria. Press Secretary Sean Spicer writing, if Mr. Assad conducts another mass murder attack using chemical weapons, he and his military will pay a heavy price. The message coming less than 3 months after President Trump launched an airstrike against Syria in April for a chemical weapons attack that killed dozens, including children.
They have seen activities that are similar to preparations of a chemical weapons attack, much like what we saw on April 4th.
The Pentagon adding the activity in the last 24 hours strongly suggests the intent to use chemical weapons, including activity with airplanes and munitions at the same airfields the U.S. struck. Today, Syria seemed to thumb its nose at the U.S., President Assad visiting a Russian airbase. Russia, which has propped up the Syrian regime, had its own warning for the U.S., a top official there calling America's statement an unprecedented provocation. U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley lashing out.
I believe that the goal is at this point not just to send Assad a message, but to send Russia and Iran a message that if this happens again, we are putting you on notice.
While some at the Defense and State Departments were aware of the intelligence, many officials tell NBC News they were caught off guard by the timing of the statement and the military threat.
I think it's very likely the White House did coordinate the effort against Syria with the other agencies and departments. They may not have coordinated fully the statement. But the substantive actions are more important than the statement.
The White House insists all necessary officials were alerted. Still, the disconnect underscores some of the president's own team may be left guessing when it comes to foreign policy.
President Trump has yet to address the Syria matter publicly, instead unleashing a series of tweets this morning on everything from the Democrats to cable news ratings. Mr. Trump, however, did discuss Syria during a pre-planned call with France's president today. Lester.
Kristen Welker at the White House, thanks. Tonight, computer security experts are in a race to stop a new kind of cyber attack underway that is hitting companies around the world, holding their computer systems hostage for money. It's affecting airlines, banks, and utilities, even an American pharmaceutical giant. NBC's Tom Costello has late details for us.
Rolling across the globe today, another anonymous ransomware attack, bringing Ukraine's main power provider to a halt, shutting down Russian banks, European businesses, even a U.S. drug giant.
It's very fast spreading. We're seeing the Ukraine initially in the U.S., in India, in the U.K., and other countries as the worm is spreading around.
Among today's targets, pharmaceutical maker Merck, the world's largest container shipping company, Maersk, even the Chernobyl nuclear plant switched to manual monitoring to protect against attack.
This is a highly profitable business. You know, we have to remember that organized cybercrime totals up to almost $445 billion on an annual basis.
U.S. government security experts say this attack, called Petya, is similar to last month's WannaCry attack that was based on hacking methods used by the NSA then released by hackers, exploiting vulnerabilities in the Windows operating system, encrypting data, and holding it all for ransom, usually paid in bitcoins.
They don't have to worry about what data you have. They only need to care about the fact that you care about your data.
And you'll pay up.
You care about your data, it's valuable to you, and therefore the attack applies to nearly anyone globally.
What can all of us do to protect ourselves? Use long, complicated passwords, mixing letters, numbers, and symbols. Keep your operating system and antivirus software up to date. Regularly back up your computer on an external drive, and don't click on suspicious emails or web links. But tonight, experts say even if victims pay a ransom, they may not regain access to their data. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Tech giant Google is in some hot water tonight. The company is getting slapped with a $2.7 billion fine by the European Union for manipulating its search engine results. NBC News business correspondent Jolene Kent has more on the record-breaking punishment and what it means for Google's users.
The record $2.7 billion fine on Google is over something millions see every day searching online, those shopping ads marked with the sponsored tag. After a seven-year investigation, the European Union now punishing Google for illegally ranking ads for its own shopping service ahead of competitors. Those sponsored ads coming from brands that have paid Google.
Google has abused its market dominance.
Here's how it works. Say you want to Google running shoes. Google shopping results would show up first. The EU analyzed 1.7 billion search results and found, on average, competitors were pushed down to the fourth page.
So what the consumer wasn't knowing is that maybe you weren't getting the best price. The Europeans are saying to Google, you have got to find a way to make sure that when somebody searches, it's not just your stuff that shows up first.
Google dominates nearly 80% of online searches worldwide. This decision could prompt U.S. regulators to go after Google, too, potentially forcing the internet giant to alter its algorithm that determines what you see when you Google.
Google needs to work on being more transparent. They have treated their algorithmic decision-making as if it's some kind of magic secret sauce.
Tonight, Google says it disagrees with the ruling and that its platform allows customers to find products quickly and easily. It will consider an appeal, a debate that could potentially transform what it really means to Google it. Jolene Kent, NBC News, New York.
Now to new developments in a deadly police shooting that made national headlines and was caught on a police dash cam. As one Chicago officer awaits trial for fatally shooting 17-year-old Laquan McDonald 16 times in 2014, today three other officers were indicted in an alleged cover-up. That dash cam video appears to show McDonald holding a knife but walking away from police, contradicting police reports that he lunged at officers. Here in New York City today, chaos and panic underground as a subway hit a wall and derailed. Dozens of people were injured. Passengers had to be evacuated through smoke and darkness. It's the latest in a series of incidents in the largest subway system in the world, plagued by aging infrastructure, which is a growing issue in cities across the country. NBC's Ron Allen has more.
Every subway rider's worst nightmare, a massive jolt, what sounds like an explosion.
That's where the smoke is coming from.
Blinding darkness, choking smoke, trapped deep underground.
I really thought I was going to die, to be honest. At first, I thought it was a terrorist attack.
I'm like, oh, this is serious. I started getting very fearful.
For unknown reasons, the train's emergency brakes activated. Two cars derailed, crashing into the subway wall.
People were flying all over the cars. We knew it was a derailment because it was that violent.
The latest episode in what New York's governor has warned could be a summer of hell for commuters. Amtrak now racing to overhaul Penn Station after two derailments caused by track defects stranded thousands this spring. Just weeks ago, panicked passengers trapped on another broken-down subway train over an hour, no air conditioning. Today, at least 34 riders escaped with minor injuries, but no word on when service will be completely back on track in the latest blow to America's aging infrastructure. Ron Allen, NBC News, New York.
Turning now to the growing sexual abuse scandal for USA Gymnastics. Today, the organization released an investigator's 100-page report concluding USA Gymnastics has failed to protect athletes from abuse and needs a, quote, complete cultural change. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has the latest.
Months after the shocking allegations.
Many times the abuse took place in my own room.
Tonight, an investigator hired by gymnastics governing body says the number of victims is surely far higher than the hundreds previously reported.
There's a whole environment that inadvertently suppresses reporting.
Among the failures, the report highlights no written protocol for how to handle allegations of abuse, no requirement to report them to law enforcement, and coaches suspended for sexual abuse were able to get new jobs. Former Olympics team doctor Larry Nassar is facing a slew of sexual assault charges in Michigan, and more than 80 women have filed complaints with police. He's pleaded not guilty.
We are extremely sorry that anyone in our sport has encountered any type of abuse.
How can an organization that deals with thousands of children not have such a protocol?
We did have a protocol. It just wasn't in written form.
That's news to Lindsay Lemke, one of Dr. Nasser's patients, who says she was molested hundreds of times.
We're so brainwashed at such a young age, and we're never taught to be able to stand up for ourselves that this many of us were taken advantage of.
USA Gymnastics has now adopted the report's 70 recommendations, but still faces multiple lawsuits. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Milwaukee.
Still ahead here tonight, tennis's new battle of the sexes. Superstar Serena Williams firing back at legendary player John McEnroe over something he said about her and refuses to apologize for. We'll be right back. We're back now with the 21st century battle of the sexes. Serena Williams firing back after comments about her from another tennis superstar, John McEnroe, courting controversy and not backing down. NBC's Morgan Radford has that story.
A heated match off the court. Former tennis pro John McEnroe raising eyebrows in an interview with NPR, questioning whether Serena Williams is as good as the guys.
Best female player ever, no question.
Why say female player?
Well, because if she played the men's circuit, she'd be like 700 in the world.
You think so?
Yeah. That doesn't mean I don't think Serena's like an incredible player. I do.
Still, Williams fired back, tweeting, "Dear John, I adore and respect you, but please, please keep me out of your statements that are not factually based." Serena Williams has scored 23 Grand Slam singles titles, more than any other player in the Open era, male or female.
She's won 10 of them since she was 30. That's incredible. Who else has that kind of longevity and that kind of winning? LeBron James? No. Tiger Woods? No. John McEnroe? No. No one except Serena.
She won her last one in January at the Australian Open while 8 weeks pregnant. Today, showing off that pregnant belly on the cover of Vanity Fair. This isn't the first time Williams has had to defend her accomplishments. In December, she addressed what her fans call a double standard on ESPN's The Undefeated.
If I were a man, I would have 100% been considered the greatest ever long time ago.
And in March, GQ came under fire for posting this photo of Roger Federer, calling him the greatest tennis player of all time. Fans quickly responded, writing, "That's not Serena." As for McEnroe, he didn't step down on CBS this morning.
Would you like to apologize?
No.
He admits Serena Williams has earned her place as a tennis great, something her fans already knew. Morgan Radford, NBC News, New York.
We're back in a moment with Meals on Wheels, the food truck on a very special mission that's inspiring America. Next. We're back now with tonight's Inspiring America report. They're a great way to grab a quick bite to eat, and these days food trucks seem to be everywhere. But there's a special one in Texas on a mission to serve up much more than delicious meals. NBC's Katie Beck tells us about it.
Cooking comfort food is what Becky Nichols does best.
I have lunch.
Oh,
you?
Yes. Thank you.
Special recipes she delivers to kids with ailing appetites.
It started with mac and cheese. And it's just mac and cheese.
It started with Becky and husband John's daughter, Libby, when she was being treated for cancer. Mac and cheese was all she wanted to eat.
It's very simple and very calorie laden, which makes it really taste good.
It gave Libby strength to fight, but at 5 years old, disease won. In 2006, Becky started a foundation, Loving Libby. Then, last year, an angel donor told her to dream big.
And so I basically made up the food truck.
She transformed an old FedEx truck, painted it bright with memories of Libby.
Good morning.
Delivering to the very clinic where Libby was treated.
When we were going through all of the medical stuff, sometimes it was hard to find good food.
Not anymore. Becky stocks the hospital's freezers. She saved Thanksgiving for this mom.
We're doing awesome, and you've been such a blessing to us, so thank you.
Becky's food, delighting doctors, too.
And sometimes I do sneak my own serving from the family kitchen.
We won't tell.
Do you want any cilantro or onion on them?
Becky also caters weddings and other events, the proceeds funding her mission.
I've created a world that Libby still lives in. How do you walk away from that?
Her work, now her way to keep honoring and loving Libby. Katie Beck, NBC News, Austin, Texas.
When we come back, who's the artist behind this painting that just sold for more than a half million? Here's a hint. He used to live in the White House. Finally tonight, check out a painting that recently sold at auction for more than a half a million dollars. It might surprise you, the artist behind it is former President Jimmy Carter. The 92-year-old Carter, like his fellow former Commander-in-Chief George W. Bush, has a passion for painting. Another of his pieces sold last year for $750,000. The proceeds benefit the Carter Center's work around the globe. We appreciate your spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.